Good morning, brothers and sisters. It's been a long time that I've not come to preach. I remember last time I came to preach in the English service. It was like 3 years ago. And last time I used English to preach was 2015, Father's Day at the Hope Christian Fellowship there. Now my English is very rusty. So please forgive me if I cannot articulate well what I want to preach. Forgive me and pray for me. If you don't understand, just look at me, but don't make any noise. But anyway, let's pray. Father, help your servants to say clearly what you have put in my heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When Pastor Benny came to my office, I went to his office. I went to his office and sat down and share about SGV, and he asked me, Pastor Chen, can you come and preach on February the 12th? And also to before your church goes independent. And I just want to make some advertisement here. And we will have an independent celebration worship service on March the 26th. You can mark it down on the calendar. March 26th in the afternoon, 3 o'clock, we are here. And we have a great celebration. And we invite you all to come and give glory to God and give all God's great praise. So, but done advertisement. Well, when Pastor Benny came to my office and said, hey, Pastor Chen, would you please come and share the word of God with us, the English congregation? He said, come to the Canary service and come to the English service. So I was a little hesitant because I had to preach in English, which is not my mother tongue. But and also, the text is assigned. You know, I cannot find something that I already preached before, so I have to preach something new, you know. So, that's the text, that's the passage. So, having meditated, and I think that is no coincidence. You know why? Because I walked through this passage many times. Just one theme came up. It's Christ-centered, driven church. Just one theme came up. Christ-centered, driven church. If we want to build a Christ-centered, driven church, you must have a Christ-driven life. Because we are called it. We are body of Christ, and the church is made up of people. The church is not about organization, it's not about institute. A church is about people. A people called by God. The redeemed sinner. And we are saved by Christ. And by God's grace, we are called to be His people. When I walked through this passage, there's no coincidence. You know, God gave me a chance before the church goes independent. And this will be the last time I preach to you as the pastor of the church plant. So after April Fool, to be honest, after April Fool, our church will be independent church. And I will be the lead pastor of the SGV, St. Gabriel Valley. So, but if Pastor Benny still trusts me, I can come back and preach. But I don't know whether it's the last time here. But anyway, 2000, year of 2000. I came for my sabbatical. I had a 3-month sabbatical leave, and having served in South Carolina, Columbia, a church for over 7 years, the church is very gracious. It gave me a 3-month sabbatical leave. I came and to finish my dissertation. I live in Alhambra. I remember it's 2000 June, the morning. I spent time, I get down on my knees and I pray to God. I say, Lord, give me the insight so that I can write my dissertation because I got stuck here. So I said, Lord, please give me insight. You know, I get down on my knees. you know, the Lord gave me a lot of things that came to my mind for the last 7 years. The mistake I made. You know, I said, Lord, are you kidding me? I said, I'm writing my dissertation. Are you telling me all these things I did wrong? Yes. And I said, Lord, forgive me. Something that I did wrong. And then I came up the theme. This theme. Christ-centered driven life. What is Christ-centered driven? If you read this passage, exactly what I'm going to preach today. Is what does it mean by Christ-centered driven life? What does it mean that? What is a Christ-centered driven church looks like? There are four things. There are four things there. Number one, Christ-centered driven, I'm sorry, because I don't have time, I just go over the whole passage. Only 13 verses, but mentioned about Jesus, mentioned about Christ 6 times in these 13 verses. So this passage to me is a Christ-centered passage to me. You know, go back to the sabbaticals, go back to the prayer. The Lord said to me, said, Joseph, what have you been doing? Why you are doing ministry? I said, Lord, I want to do something for you. I want to do something great. What for? Is it for yourself or for me? You know, minister has a great temptation to do something and make themselves look good, right? Is it? Not only ministers, everybody. Everybody. You want to be glorified. You want your name be big. You know what? When you walk in to the places, everybody knows you. You want to be popular? No. God said your life is to glorify me. Your life, what you do, what you're going to do, what you have done, what you should do, is to exalt me, not about yourself. Amen? To exalt Christ. And second, to imitate him, just like Paul always mentioned about in the book of Philippians chapter 3. To imitate Christ, to pattern Christ. Christ is our great example. He's the perfect man. There's no perfect man in the world, but only him. So we imitate Christ. Third, to preach Christ, to witness for Christ. And lastly, is to depend on Christ. To be honest with you, the things that I, you know, the Lord just talked to me. After I went back to my church, I said, Lord, I want to glorify your name alone, to exalt you, to imitate you, to share with people, to share you with people. I cannot do this unless I depend on you. The original version is to exalt God, imitate Christ, preach Christ, and depends on the Holy Spirit. That is a Trinitarian theology. Huh? But it's a lot of time. It's if it's get confusion, some brothers and sisters. So I just make it so easy, Christ-centered to my church. Therefore, I thank God to bring me to SGV. God called me to be the pastor of the SGV. Actually, is that God put this in my heart. So, this is our first Chinese Baptist church. Where's SGV? No? Right here. Because we are not independent yet. So, Christ-centered church. Put Christ Jesus here. Exalt Christ. Witness for Christ. Depend on Christ. Imitate Christ. Our church is ABC church, ABCD church. It's easy, right? Adore God, build people, connect with the world, and devoted in prayer. By devoting in prayer, we depend on Christ through prayer. We witness for Christ through connect to the world. We imitate Christ so that we can build each other and then exalt Christ, adore God. Not only just come and praise by lips, but also to live it out. Now we come to the text. This is my heart. I cannot separate my life with the church. I can. Because the church life is part of my life. 2009, September, I was still a senior pastor of my former church. And September the 30th, actually it's been a long time, the Lord already touched my heart and had to resign from my position because I know that God wants me to do too. So I spent almost 4 months before I stepped down. I told the whole elder board and said, the Lord led me. So I shared with them. I said, and one of the elder came to me and said, Pastor Chun, don't leave until you find another position. I said, no. I know that God wants me to leave now. So I just told them. And so October the 1st, 2009, I was nobody. And then, actually, one of the, as a pastor, as a senior pastor, now he's teaching in the Alliance Church, Alliance Theological Seminary in Hong Kong. And he came to me and said, Pastor Chun, can you consider and come and take my place? So I will be going back to Hong Kong and you can take my place and pray for that. And it's been, 2 months that the church leaders and came and chat and, interview and December the 1st, they unanimously came to a decision that the whole church invite me to be their senior pastor. December the 1st, 2009. But I went to St. Gabriel Church. That they still met in CCXC back then. I went there and I met Pastor Benny. And Pastor Benny talked to me, he said, Pastor Chun, I know that you are jobless. No, he didn't say that. He said, so you are available. Put it this way. And he said to me, is it Pastor Chun, and you consider to we don't know. We don't have a position here in LA, but would you want to pray about that? No. In fact, by that time, I already had an offer in place. I said to myself, I talked to my wife. I said, now there's a church in St. Gabriel, very small church. It's about somewhere around 50 people, right, back then. Yeah, so and there's a few kids. So. On the other end, there's a church called me to be a senior pastor. I said to my wife, let's pray together. And I talked to the church there. Give me 1 month to reply to you. December the 1st, I get down on my knees every night. I pray with my wife. I said, Lord, what you want me to go to do? And there is no position in LA and Pastor Benny shared with me, but my heart was pounding. But on the other hand, it's a very secure, the senior pastor position. Should I just take it and then come back and later on say to them, this is not what God leading me, and quit in 3 months? Or don't take it. So I said to myself, I said, Lord, this is not about myself. It's about you. I know your guidance. Will never, you make no mistake of my life. I cannot see what's happening in the future, but I know your guidance never, never be a mistake. So, December the 31st, I wait till last day. I was waiting for Pastor Benny. He didn't call me. We ate together early December, Pastor Benny and his wife, Julia. and my wife and the four of us and ate, and then he shared with us his passion and his vision. My wife and I really identify with what his passion, his vision. So I waited till last day. I said to the leadership, I said, having prayed for a month, I know that the Lord may lead me elsewhere. Then I declined the invitation. Even now, the senior pastor, he's a theological professor in Hong Kong, still in contact with me. But make the story short. You know what? 2009, my oldest son was the first year in the college. I was jobless. Can you believe? I'm going to make my living. But it's so interesting. You know, the rest of the story, Pastor Benny can continue, but I just want to share with you 2010, March 15. You know, I became the pastor of HEV. I know God led me here. Because what? To continue church as a Christ-centered, different church. It's to exalt Christ, imitate Christ, preach Christ, and depend on Christ. In 2012, we came up this chart. And you know what? 2012, we opened two new worship services. In addition to the existing worship service, we start the English worship service. We did not have an English pastor. We had an English intern who was an intern back then. And then we did not have a Mandarin pastor. Even now we don't have a Mandarin pastor. We opened a Mandarin worship service, and from then on the church continued to grow, and God added people to us. And from day one, I share with Julia. Julia said, no, don't do that, Pastor. You're crazy. You know, at two new worship services. I said, no, not because of I want. Because I have led it by the Lord, I know. God will not set you as a failure. You know that? It's no mistake. Now I'm going to preach from this text. Wow, I already spent 20 minutes to do my introduction. Too bad. You may need to bring your lunch boxes here. Christ-centered church, number one, must exalt to Christ. Like Apostle John is a great example. And John 3:30, he said, he must increase, but I must decrease. That's my motto. Since day one, I came to the ministry. The Apostle Paul is a great example. Here, Paul said, to me, the very last of all saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentile the unfathomable riches of Christ. Do you see how Paul describes himself? It's the very least of all saints. So therefore, a Christ-centered driven life or church must be a church to exalt Christ. Paul makes it so clear that he himself had no special claim on God's wealth. For he considered himself less than the least of all saints. The name Paul in Latin means little. And perhaps Paul bore his name because he realized that how insignificant he really was. He calls himself the least of all saints, and later in 1 Timothy 1:15, he called himself the chief of sinners. Understand, the deep truth of God's word does not give him a big head. Suffering for the sake of Christ does not earn him a great apostle. Instead, it gives him a broken and contrite heart. A lot of time we boast ourselves, you know, in a very subtle way to share with people how we suffer for God, you know. Deep down in our heart, we want to exalt ourselves, right? But not Paul. understand the deep truth of God makes him a man of humility and a man after God's heart. And second, the Christ-centered-driven life must imitate Christ and willing to suffer for the sake of the gospel. And for, I'm not going to read from verse 1 to 7, but twice in this letter, and Paul reminds his reader that he is a prisoner. And at the close, he called himself an ambassador in bonds in Ephesians 6:20. And no doubt the Ephesians were asking, and why is Paul a prisoner in Rome? And why would God permit such a thing? And in this paragraph, Paul explains his situation, and in doing so, also explains one of the greatest truths in this letter, the mystery of the church. Now, in the New Testament, a mystery is not something inscrutable, but rather a truth that was hidden by God in times past and is now revealed to those who are in his family. A mystery is a secret that is unknown to unbelievers, but understood and treasured by the people of God. The best way to grasp the importance of the mystery in Paul's life is to focus on two descriptions he gave of himself in this section, in this paragraph. And he begins by calling himself a prisoner, and then he calls himself a minister, chapter 3, verse 7. And Paul was a prisoner because he believed in God's new plan of uniting believers, Jews and Gentiles, into one body, the church. You know, the Orthodox Jews in Paul's days considered the Gentiles dogs. But some of the Christian Jews did not have a much better taught the Gentile as well. And in obedience to God's calling, Paul became the apostle to the Gentile. And because of that, he was accused of being prejudiced against the Jew, and particularly the Jewish believers in Jerusalem and Judea. And the rest of the book of Acts explained how Paul got from Jerusalem to Rome and then became a prisoner of Christ and for Gentile. And had Paul compromised his message and encouraged the selfish prejudice of the Jews, he probably would have been released. Uncompromising to his role. Uncompromising the message. And Paul was not only a prisoner because of the mystery, but because he also a minister. And God gave him a stewardship that he might go to the Gentile, and not only with the good news of the salvation through Christ, but also with the message that Jews and Gentiles are now one in Christ. And God made Paul a steward of the mystery with the responsibility of sharing it with the Gentile. It was not enough simply to win them to Christ and form them into the local assemblies. And he was also to teach them their wonderful position in Christ as a member of the body and sharing God's grace equally with the Jews. And this truth had not been revealed in the Old Testament scriptures, but was revealed in the New Testament apostle and prophets by the Holy Spirit. And God revealed it personally to Paul. Was his responsibility to share with Gentile. This was the stewardship that God had given Paul. And because of Paul, a faithful steward, he was now a prisoner in Rome. And like Joseph in the Old Testament, his faithful steward resulted in forced arrest and imprisonment. But in the end, it brought great glory to God and salvation to Jews and Gentiles. Thirdly, Christ-centered life or Christ-centered church must be a church to preach Christ, to share Christ. I was in South Carolina. I like to use free resources means that I go to use the library without pay a dime. So I went to the CIU library very often when I pastored a church there. So CIU is a Columbia International University. It's very well known to send out missionaries, right? That's a known as a Columbia Bible Seminary in South Carolina. And many great missionaries came from that seminary, was trained there and then sent out. So the motto of that seminary is to make him, to know him and make him known. Him is who? Christ. So to make Christ known. What does it mean by to make Christ known? According to this passage, there are a few things. Step number one, to make known the wonderful new relationship for those who believe in Jesus. And to make known the promise of God that made available to those who believe in Christ. And thirdly, to make known the unfathomable riches of Christ to those who truly believe in Jesus. Number one, the wonderful new relationship. Actually, last week, Pastor Chris talked about the oneness. In Ephesians chapter 2, 11 to 22, I rediscovered that Christ's work on the cross accomplished much more than the salvation of individual sinners. It reconciled Jews and Gentiles to each other to God, and this truth that Paul represents here. And you can imagine what exciting news it would be. The truth of the mystery reveals to believer Gentile that have been a wonderful new relationship through Jesus. I'm so excited when we engage ourselves to preach Christ, to share Christ with people. The new relationship that you see, a person, not only he connected to Christ, but also connected with us. To fellowship among the church. But sometimes, those people can be very troublesome. And yet, that is, we still need to reach out to them. Promises of God. To begin with, and they are follow heirs with the Jews and share in the spiritual riches God gave them because of his covenant with Abraham. In Christ, being a Jew or Gentile is neither an access nor liability. For together we share Christ. We share the riches of Christ. The Gentiles are also fellow members of the body of Christ, namely the church, and they are one body. Our human birth determines our race distinctions, but our spiritual birth unties us as members of the same body. And Christ is the head of this body, and each individual member share in ministry. Finally, in their new relationship, the Gentile can partake of the promise of God. And last week, I remember Pastor Benny told me that Pastor Chris talked about we are one body. No matter you speak Cantonese, no matter you speak Mandarin or English, we are one body and we help each other and we enrich one another. The unfathomable riches of Christ, the mystery, not only gives believing Gentiles a new relationship, it also reveals that there is a new power available to him, to them. This power is illustrated in the life of Paul. And God saved him by grace and gave him a stewardship, a special ministry to the Gentiles. But God also gave Paul the power to accomplish this ministry. The word working here is energia, from which we get our word energy. And the word power is dunamis, which gives us our words dynamic and dynamite. Paul has already told us about this mighty power in Ephesians chapter 1, 13 through 23. And I remember Pastor Benny in his sermon mentioned about this word as well. He said four Greek words talk about this power. And also Paul will mention it again in Ephesians 3:30 and 4:14. The mighty resurrection power of Christ is available to us for daily living and service. Now, this all can only be theory unless you put yourself to trust him and to exercise this power, right? And how can we exercise that kind of power, the unfathomable riches of Christ? How? By what? That's my last point. Remember what I said? You forgot? depend on Christ. Depend. Depend means nothing, right? Depend who? Depend on Christ. We must depend on Christ. From 11, for verse 11 to 13, let us read together. I don't have the text put here, but can you not read this, John? Let us read it later, but let us read Ephesians chapter 3, 11 to 13. Let's read together. This was in accordance with the purpose which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and confidence, access through faith. Therefore, I ask you not to lose heart at my tribulations on your behalf, for they are your glory. Now, I want to say a lot of things about depending on Christ, and I want to share, allow me to run over time for 10 minutes. I want to share with you how my life and the church life come together to exercise this point. Depend on Christ. In John 6:14, Jesus said to his disciples, let's read together. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater job than this he will do. Because I go to the Father, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. When God saved Paul, he deposited with him the precious treasure of gospel truth. I tell you, same also applied to our life. You and us too. Do you believe that? How many of you do believe? Just only one? We have no hope now. Now Paul, in turn, commit this truth to others, exhorting them to commit the truth to faithful men who would guard them and share them. He said to his spiritual son, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to you, to your trust. At the close of his life, Paul would say, to the glory of God, I have kept the faith. During those apostolic days, the truth of the gospel and the mystery were guarded, preached, and handed down to faithful men. We want to be faithful men. I want SGV, I want LA Church to be faithful to God as well. The mystery is the key to what God promised in the Old Testament, what Christ did in the gospel, what the early church did in the book of Acts, what Paul and other writers teach in episodes and epistles, and what God will do as according in the book of Revelation. And God's plan today is not the headship of Israel, but the headship of Christ over his church. And we today are under a different stewardship from that of Moses and the prophet, and we must be careful not to confuse what God has clarified. And one of the comments that a theologian made, quote, he said, the reason many churches are weak and ineffective is because they do not understand what they have in Christ. And the cause of this is often spiritual leaders, just me. I preach to me now. Then who are maybe just good steward of money, good steward of finance, good steward of property, good steward of organization, good steward of institute, but they are not good steward of mystery. Because they do not rightly divide the word of truth, they confuse their people concerning their spiritual position in Christ, and they rob the people of the spiritual wealth in Christ. It's very heavy to me, this passage, and indeed it is reflecting a lot of weaknesses and ineffectiveness. Why? Because we didn't trust, we do not believe how much power that we have and how much that we can depend on him. And a lot of time, We depend on our calculation. We depend on our plan. We depend on our experience. We depend and we will persuade people not to do it. Don't do it. You are crazy. Not by faith. Doing that by sight and you do not see the glory of God. Isn't it? This great truth concerning the church is not divine afterthought. It is part of God's eternal purpose in Christ. And to ignore this truth is to sin against the Father who planned it, the Son whose death made it possible, and the Spirit who today seeks to work in our lives to accomplish what God has planned. When you understand this truth, and it gives you great confidence and faith, and when you know what God is doing in the world, and you work with Him, and you can be sure that He will work in you and for you, and all of His divine resources are available to those who sincerely want to do His will and help His accomplish His purpose on earth. And that is my prayer, and this is also what SGV is trying to do. We believe that all these divine resources will make available to us. Not because of us to exalt ourselves, but because to exalt Christ. I want to share with something with you is about SGV, is about crazy things that we're going to do, according to some people. You know what? And I want to ask Joe to come up and share. And Joe, I'm going to introduce who he is. He's a seminarian come to my church. And you know what crazy thing? It's not crazy. But because God has been putting this in our heart, that our church is engaging ourselves to preach Christ to in obedience to the Great Commission. And we know that there are people from our church, you know, they have been coming and they got saved and they baptized and they move out because of a lot of reasons. One of the reasons is that they cannot afford the housing here in San Gabriel Valley. They move down to the east. And the leadership saw that as the need. And God put this in our heart. And we don't want to do something that is just we want, but we start with prayer. And that if this is what God wants us to do, we know that we can claim this power, we can claim this richness of Christ. I want to have Joe to come and share with us. Yeah. Allow me to give me more 5 more minutes, please. Yeah. But give him 5 more minutes. Yeah, he can share in English, yes.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Joe. I'm being interned in SGV for 3 years. And I want to history means his story. And I want to share 3 things that my story connect to his story. And 3 things are 1 date and 1 book and also 1 question. Oh, this is our family. No, this is the first 1 date. 2013, December 11th, the date we arrived U.S. from Beijing. And the reason why I remember this so clearly is not that we just arrived, but right after we arrived, we went to Pastor Chen's house for prayer meeting. And there were so many people in the house already, and the most awkward thing, and we came to U.S., and it was, we opened the door, and everybody was looking at us. It was like, okay. And the second we were going in, and every time we move, and people have to stand up for us. So the first date, we came to States, and it would feel so awkward. But on that date, I learned 1 thing. So many people held hands, and prayed fervently to see God's will. That really touched my heart. And everything started from there. And the second thing is a book. 2015, our SGV started to study experiencing God together. And one of the spiritual principle lies in the book saying, as we seek God's will, and we should be careful and watchful on what God's been doing around us and ask God to allow us to join His work. Like Pastor Chen mentioned, over the 1 year and a half, there were four families moved to East Ward of LA. And I think Pastor Rick Warren echoed, like, God created the wave, we surf the wave. And God brought us so many new immigrants to U.S., to Chinatown, and then to SGV, and now He's moving eastward. And our pastoral staff started to pray, what should we do about it? And then we finally came to agreement, let's do something, just try. We believe it's easier to turn a moving car than to turn a stop car. Everybody has a car in LA, right? It's easier to turn a moving car than to turn a stop car. And the week before last Christmas, we invited the four families who are already in the east side of LA, and also four or five families who has been considering moving eastward, and also the people who want to be committed to serve the Lord and experience God. We hope that day about 20 people will show up. But this is how we show up. It turned out almost 50. People share their deep thoughts, their burden for Christ. We share vision. We pray. We read God's word. We worship. It's like old times, but it's like deeper. And we see people there need Christ. Not just the people who came to the Lord. Their friends, their family members, their colleagues. That's one book. And also one question. This is the question. Who do you think you are? I think behind all the spotlights and applause after our activity, our meeting, the doubts and questions came up. Even I doubt myself. Who do I think I am? Who do I think I am? I'm nobody. I'm a seminary student. Oh no, people say it's cemetery. It's cemetery student. I'm nobody. I'm new to U.S. I'm only 3 years, not 13 years or 30 years. I know everybody, had all the resources. I got nothing. But when I pray and in a quiet time, suddenly asking wrong questions, getting a wrong answer. God reminded me, it's not who do I think I am, it's who do I think He is. Who do we think He is? Is it hard for Abraham to go out without knowing where to go? Is it hard for Moses to face the darkest earthly authority, the Pharaoh? Is it hard for Paul in the text to preach to the Gentiles? But they have something in common. They trust the God who was the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Do we trust the same God? That's my question. And come to this, and it's a great honor. And sharing about our church plan possible, I can say, we don't know for sure. And it's a newly independent church, planting a church. Are we ready? Can we do it by side? We can't. Just can't. It's impossible. Are we ready? We need to depend on God. And also my question to our Mother Church. Mother Church is ready to become a grandma church. Let's depend on God.
Joe is very young. He's not only reached to 30s, right? 30, okay, just turned 30. He just had a boy, baby boy. You know, he has two children. You know, God has put a burden in his heart to plant a church. But where's the money comes from? And where's the resource comes from? But I already shared with you late earlier. We're not depending on ourselves. But we see the wave that God created, we surf with that. We're not jumping into it, but we're just seeing how God opens a door. How God opens a window and door, and we just follow Him. And second, not only church plan, but give me one. Yeah, I know that it's a time, you know, I'm Chinese, sorry. Now, you know, 2 years ago, actually, our church has almost maxed out the basement. Meeting at Hope Christian Fellowship. Carolee may know already. So many kids. And we ask God to provide us a place that we can afford. We can house all these activities. And a place that is very centralized. It's a place that is central for everybody. It's very hard to find, you know. Number one is the location. And second is the size. And number three is what? The price. But two years ago. And God led us to find a property in Acadia. But it's in El Monte School District, but the location is in Acadia. But we launched a 40 days prayer. We launched the 40 day prayer 2015, June 22nd through July the 31st. All the leaders, all the church leaders came together, fast and pray and seek the will of God, whether God wants us to purchase that property. Because according to our size, according to our size, we max out the existing facilities. But according to finance aside, we're not ready. It's far, you know, far from reaching far from enough. So we've been praying that, Lord, I know that you are the great God can provide. But on the other hand, we need to look into reality. But we pray that we still want to proceed. And 2015, July the 31st, we pray that God, and we know that the church later on returned to us. Pastor Chen, we know that you are really sincere to consider to buy our property, but the timing was not right to us yet because we are not independent. We find out that we cannot sign any paper, you know. And second, in fact, we have a competitor. It's the developer. The developer offered them 3.5 million. And us, we just said, you know, all we can offer is 2.55, because this is the number that they gave me from because of the first, they had the first developer gave them 2.55, but now another developer jumped in and gave them 3.5, so they went in. So, but our prayer is that we come together and pray 2015 July 31st. Who can read Chinese? You know, I translated. I said, Lord, we ask you to keep this church from the hand of developer. And pray that this church can come to our hands so that we can glorify you and to use this to continue to do your work. Not to let the developer to make money. 2015. But, you know, they went into a developer, open escrow. You know what happened lately? Our church is about to be independent. We just dropped the idea of buying property. You know, we don't want to get ourselves into trouble. We don't want to get ourselves into debts. You know, if it is not God's will, forget it. But you know what happened? This is our prayer. And they got answer our prayer. This is an email the pastor sent to me. When? January 15th. 2017, 9:52 p.m. After I went back home from the worship service, he said, "Hey, Pastor Chen, I hope you are well. I'm not sure if your situation has changed about church property. But the escrow with the developers was canceled this week. Wow! Isn't that amazing? A year and a half, you know, God answered our prayer. And we are about to be independent. And we are about to make our own decision, you know. And then, Go back. Yeah, can you go back? Oops. Okay. He said, so, the Life Oak Avenue in Acadia will likely be on the market again. Just reaching out to see if there might be any interest from our church. I hope FBCC is doing well. Even our name, he forgot. But he said he's interested. If I can find a buyer. Isn't it amazing? If you or me, what are you going to do? I share with all the leaders and come together. I don't know what God's will for us. But we cannot compete with the developers. Let us come together. 2017, February 1st, last Wednesday, all our officers came together and we want to discern whether this is the will of God. We said, no matter how much the developer will offer them, we just stick to this red number. To us, it's red because we don't have the money. That is deficit, okay? We have 300,000. That's why I put red. 2.55 to us is crazy. But to them, it's crazy too if I sell to you. Right? I mark down $1 million and sell to you. But you know what? That is what we call faith. Faith is not by sight, but by what? Trusting the Lord. If God wants us to buy it, would that go through? How many of you believe that? Good to see some hands. Together, we sit with, well, God, I said, I gather all the leaders come together and to pray and to seek the will of God. John, sorry, give me 2 more minutes. That is very important. Very important. You know why? We come together. I show them how we get the 2.55 to collect that money. And all the officers at that night at the meeting said, no way. It's impossible. You know, if you were me, would you go into it? No, I don't. Because, no, it's not benefit me. It will cut my salary in the future. Why I have to jump into it, right? But if God wants us to do, He will provide. Do you believe that? So all our leaders get on our knees and pray. And we come together and said, Lord, if 2.55 they accept, we know that this is your will. How many of our believers believe that? So let us cast a vote. Raise your hand? No. Because raising hand will pressure each other. We don't want to cast a vote. We do a small little paper. It's like, if this is what God put in your heart, say yes or say no. If I cannot get 80% of you who say yes, I will let it go. You know what happened? No one knows who cares a vote. Everybody just pray and say, Lord, even 2.55 is to us is crazy, but we believe that, Lord, you can provide. You will, if we have the faith. And together, come together, and then we collect, use a grocery bag, and to collect the vote, and then we turn, we open it. The first one is yes. The second one is yes. And to the end, yes, unanimously, we want to walk and to see what God will do. Amen. By faith. We don't know how the money comes out. See? Still red. But one day, if this is what God wants us to do, it will become what? Black. Let's pray.